May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 947. Great God, to thee I'll make my griefs and sorrows known, and with a humble hope approach thy awful throne. Though by my sins deserving hell, I'll not despair, for who can tell? 947.
the Lord help us to read the book of Jonah, chapters 1 and 2. Jonah, chapters 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the sea was like, ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea roared and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the valley of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, do grant now thy Holy Spirit that we may be aided in all our infirmities, so that we might rightly come to thee in that new and living way which thou, Lord Jesus, hast consecrated for thy people. Thyself that way. Oh, we pray, Holy Spirit of truth, convince us each of our sin now, that truly every other way may be stopped up. Oh Lord, that we might be stopped from all our self-righteousness, from all our fleshly religion, from all our assumptions and presumptions. But do grant, blessed Spirit, that that way might yet be set before us this evening, and we led in that way. O Lord, that we may truly come to thee in faith, believing thou art, and that thou art the rewarder of those that diligently seek thee. And we do pray for that diligence, Lord. We would rightly bemoan our lack of it so often, indeed always, unless thou dost give it. And all we pray thou wilt give it. All this precious gift, the work of the Spirit making diligent thy people. Thou hast said, they that seek shall find, ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. Oh, do give us such a heart to search for thee, Lord. Oh, Lord, we confess with shame our sinfulness, our many and grievous corruptions, our enmity against thee, Lord, our carnality, our worldliness, our lust our covetousness, our pride, our rebellion, O Lord, under the solemn judgments that thou dost bring upon us, under the afflictions, under all the trouble, Lord, that sin has wrought. Oh, forgive, we pray. Though our iniquities testify against us, O Lord, remember them not against us, we pray. In wrath, remember mercy. Do thou it for thy name's sake. Do help us here this evening to worship thee. O Lord, we pray, may we be granted that awe upon our spirit, wrought by the sense of thy presence and the effectual application of thy word to our hearts, to cause us, Lord, to tremble before thee. But oh, we would seek, Lord, that mercy, that we might be favoured to rejoice in thee. Oh, it is such a great request we make, Lord. For thou hast said, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Oh, Lord, when we look within, how dare we make such requests, that such sinners as we might rejoice in thee, a holy God. But, O Lord, dost thou not say, thou art have mercy on thy people's unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities wilt thou remember no more? Wast thou not sent, Lord Jesus, by thy Father, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance? Lord, do then grant that call to each here, if it please thee, even this evening, that call to repentance, that effectual call. Oh, we pray for gospel repentance, that we may, Lord, be each shown our sins in some measure at least, and may to mourn over them, to hate them, turn from them unto thee, Lord, by the power of thy gospel. Lord, do grant that faith the psalmist had given him. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. My soul doth wait, and in thy word do I hope. O Lord, we pray that thy people may be edified here this evening. May be that wrought by thee which shall have a gracious effect in their hearts. Some remaining effect in their lives. O Lord, that we may be not only hearers of the word, but doers also. Do take up thy people's cases, Lord, as only thou canst. No one else, Lord, could take those cases up. They're too heavy, too difficult, too impossible, too unworthy, too wretched, too filthy, Lord. Oh, we would thank thee for that truth, that it's touched that filthy leper when thou saidst to him, be thou clean. The Lord, thou couldst not contract anything from him, But thou didst convey to him thy healing power, thy mercy. Look upon us then, we pray, and deal with us as thou didst with him, drawing us to thee. Grant in that living faith, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And then, Lord, oh, surely thou wilt grant in thy time that answer, I will be thou clean. Lord, we seek thy blessing on this people. Thou knowest where each one is, those that are thine, what they need. Lord, they need thee. But in particular ways, Lord, what they need in their soul's experience and life's pathway now. Oh, do supply that need, Lord. Direct from thyself, through the means of thy grace here in thy house, through the reading of the word, whatever means it may please thee to use. Only, Lord, grant this people the favour of the communications from heaven, that dew, that rain, my doctrine thou said should drop as the rain, and my speech distill as the dew. O Lord, how we need it. Oh, do let the blessing come down. Lord, thy garden here may flourish. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south wind, and blow upon thy garden, that the spices thereof may flow forth, that those graces might abound. Through coming down, Lord, from thee, there's no other way of them abounding, Lord. They won't grow in nature's barren soil. All we can boast till Christ we know is vanity and toil. Oh, we pray this people may know Christ. And those that know a little of him may know more of him. Those that know him not at all may begin to know him. Oh Lord, we may be in Christ. We might be in some measure like him. For Lord, except we are in thee and like thee in some measure, we shall not see thee in that way thy servant Paul spoke. Lord, do grant then this mercy while in our little span here below, thou dost lengthen our lives. Bless, Lord, the preaching of thy word. Lord, do grant thy blessing in this place, the salvation of sinners, the glorification of thy great and holy name in that salvation. O Lord, uphold in the trials, the difficulties of the way, the afflictions in body and circumstances, the heavy burdens, Lord, that some carry, the crosses. O Lord, all wisely appointed by thee. For what end? To bring us down as a helpless sinner day after day, dependent upon thee. Oh, let our troubles have this effect, we pray. Alas, we prove trouble alone doesn't have this effect. Oh, Lord, alas. Lord, what a solemn thing. It has the opposite effect. Oh, gather us, we pray, we beseech thee. Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation and uphold us with thy free spirit. We pray, Lord, thy blessing in the families. Oh, have mercy on our children, the young people. Where they are found in the means of grace, oh, do in mercy grant that work that shall keep them in this way, as thou dost speak to them in this way. And Lord, bring back those that have wandered. Oh, we pray, Lord, in mercy, manifest thy prodigals, thou knowest who they are. And thou alone art able to bring them back. Oh Lord, do in mercy undertake the aged, the infirm, some unable to be with us. Oh Lord, according to thy sovereign will and purpose, do visit them where they are with thy great salvation. We pray, Lord, for the bereaved. Comfort and uphold those that have lost loved ones. Go before them and help them in all that this means. O Lord, sanctify, Lord, to those that live, the death of those that have died. Lord, that thy voice may be heard in it. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Lord, prepare us. Lord, we pray. Oh, do that mighty work. The spirit of my mind renew. Save me in thy Son. Clothe me in his righteousness, wash me in his precious blood. We thank thee for all thy mercies to us. It is of thy mercy we're not consumed. Lord, do go on to be gracious. We thank thee for our daily food and water. Thy blessing upon it to the good of our bodies, thy watchful care over us in our journeyings and at all times while awake and asleep. O Lord, we marvel at thy kind and watchful care. Alas, Lord, when our thoughts are anywhere but upon thee, thy people prove thy thoughts, thy eyes upon them for good. Lord, do grant each this blessing. We pray for the healing of the sick. Do uphold and strengthen where the affliction must remain. We ask thy blessing, Lord, in the marriages. Lord, do help. Do grant that grace. Lord, oh, what a high standard does thy word set for the behaviour of the husband and the wife. Do give grace, Lord. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And let the wife see that she be in subjection unto her husband, even as the church is unto Christ. O Lord, do grant thy blessing in the families. We thank thee, Lord, for where life has been preserved and where life has been given. We pray for parents in this tremendous matter. O Lord, we pray for all needed help to be granted. And Lord, what a continual need it is, and an increasing need, as our children grow older. O Lord, have mercy, we beg. Leave us not to be a stumbling block to them. We beseech thee. Pardon now what we've asked amiss. We would remember, Lord, a friend away from us, a deacon here, and seek thy watchful care over him in his journeys, his safe return at the appointed time, we pray. And help our friend at the desk, bless his labours. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1038. Sinners in their deep affliction sigh and groan beneath their load, long to read their own election, and with pleasure say, My God, trembling, fearing, hoping still in Jesus' blood. 1038.
Seeking the Lord's help, I venture to direct you to the book of Jonah, chapter 2. Reading verse 4. Jonah chapter 2, verse 4. Then I said, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The place that Jonah was in, each one of the Lord's people are brought to in their measure. When the Lord shows you yourself, you will not think Jonah such a terrible character. Why was he in this place he was in? Because he was a child of God. A sinful child of God. And whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If ye be without chastisement, rob all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Jonah disobeyed God. Not one of us here this evening have any just cause to throw stones at that man. Today we have disobeyed God. May not be with regard to an express command unto us today, as it was with Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach the preaching that I bid thee. But we are men and women, and we are all under that law, which God has given. And therefore, wherein today we have not loved the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our mind and with all our soul, and our neighbour as ourself, we have disobeyed him. I use the commandment that the Lord Jesus used when he was asked to summarise the law. You see, all those other laws, the law of God, it all flows from that one great law. And the majority of the human race solemnly are left to go on in disobedience and are never brought where Jonah was. And so never know that salvation from their sin that Jonah knew. How easy it is to talk about sin. How easy it is to confess it with our lips. How easy it is to talk about salvation. To talk about Christ. To talk about sovereign grace, to talk about the precious blood of the Lamb of God. But it isn't talking about these things that save sinners. It's that we cannot do that saves sinners. It's that almighty arm of God, that speaking of the word, with power into the soul, that application of the blood That revelation of Christ, that knowing of him, is that deliverance. My dear friend, Jonah had a deliverance, didn't he? And so will every one of the Lord's people. Some of you here tonight may not yet have had a deliverance. But if you know something of the trouble Jonah was in, you will have such a deliverance one day. You will be brought to testify as he testified. Salvation is of the Lord, not of me, not of ministers, of the Lord. But you know the way to that blessing is not comfortable. It cannot be. I've said how easy it is to say we're sinners, to talk about sin. The hymn writer says, oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. You know you'll know no greater trouble than this. There is no greater trouble than this. If by the grace of God, my dear friend, you're free of this trouble, when you come down to die, you'll be a happy person. But if you're not, how can I possibly describe your unhappy condition when you come to die and your sins of all your life are upon you? And it won't have mattered how many times you've gone to chapel and how many times you've listened to sermons, whether you've been a church member, a deacon, a minister, a pastor. Only one thing will matter. Am I in Christ? Did the Saviour shed his precious blood for me? Am I a possessor of Christ, the unspeakable gift? Well, what a place then Jonah was in here. In Jonah's salvation, the Lord prepared this great fish. Oh, perhaps someone here or more than one person knows something of what that man felt when he said, take me up and cast me into the sea, for I know that for my cause this evil is come upon you. You feel the end is come, but it hadn't. Oh, the preparation of God's salvation, the preparation of the means he takes to save sinners, the preparation of his dear Son, set up from everlasting. John Baptist, his forerunner, prepare before him that way. You see, this great fish that the Lord prepared for Jonah was not only the means of the salvation of his body from death, for he must certainly have drowned without this provision, but it was also the means in the Lord's hand of the salvation of his soul. For in that dark place, which represents the grave, the Lord Jesus referred to it, didn't he? as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the bowels of the earth. And you know, it's because Jesus came forth from that grave. Indeed, it was because Jesus went into that grave first that Jonah came in his soul's feelings into the grave, and in his soul's feelings and experience came out of the grave. Because without all the benefits of the death of Christ, without all that grace that flows to the church through Jesus laying down his life for his people, no one would feel like Jonah did in the belly of that great fish. How insensible man is, even in his deepest troubles. How insensible he is to spiritual things. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But how shall they be spiritually discerned? How shall a sinner get spiritual discernment? The sovereign grace of God gives him that spiritual discernment. He feels something his poor natural body can't feel. He sees something his natural mind can't see, nor his natural eyes see. He sees himself. He sees God. Isaiah, he testifies of his own experience, how he was convinced of his sin. Woe is me, he said, because I'm undone, a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. But then he speaks of how he is delivered from that sin. An angel with those tongs taking the live coal from off the heavenly altar and putting it on Isaiah's lips and saying unto him, lo, this hath purged away thy sin. My dear friend, there's no other way of your sin being purged away but by the Holy Spirit, applying the truth to your soul, revealing Christ to your heart. And then it's like a live tongue, live coal off the heavenly altar. It's got the heat of God in it. It's got the holiness of God in it. It's got the mercy of God in it. It's got the power of God in it. Oh, my dear friend, how often the Lord's servants mourn, how cold truths come from them. You'll never get a cold truth from God. No. All the coldness is in man. When that truth flowed from Christ into those two on the Emmaus Road, their hearts burned within them. Well, I've wandered rather. I was trying to speak of this place Jonah was in. We're told that he had been in it 3 days and three nights before he began to pray. The end of the first chapter and the beginning of the second. Then Jonah. It wasn't immediately. Then. What fixed that time? What brought it about? It wasn't the trouble, was it? Alone. No, it was the Spirit of the Lord. You know, often the Lord's people find it, perhaps you've walked about today in great trouble, of wondering to yourself, why is it I can't pray? Worse than that, you may have said to yourself, the Lord may have convinced you of it, it's worse than that. Refuse to pray. So rebellious. Rebellious against God. And you know, when you're rebellious against God, oh, what a hindrance to prayer that is. But if you're one of the Lord's, He'll bring you down. He'll put prayer in your heart. Then you'll pray unto the Lord your God out of the fish's belly. He cried by reason of his affliction unto the Lord. He had his affliction before, but now he has a cry put in his heart unto the Lord. By reason of mine affliction, and what an affliction it was. He heard me, he said. And so will be the testimony of every one who cries unto the Lord. Not one of them will be able to say, I cried unto him and he didn't hear me. No, not this cry of faith. Oh, not this real heartfelt plea for the Lord's mercy. Ah, he may not have heard, he may not have answered you yet, but that doesn't mean he hasn't heard you. He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. Oh, what a solemn thing it is that the Lord's people are taught through their experience here below, a little bit concerning hell. The fullness can only be known by those that are in that awful place. But something of hell, and then something of heaven, is made known to the Lord's people here below. What is the most solemn truth concerning hell? It is this, that those who are there are utterly banished from God. While here on this earth, even the wicked are not utterly banished from God. If they were, they wouldn't have food provided for them. The sun wouldn't shine upon them. They'd be in hell if they're utterly banished from God. And I believe this is what the Lord's people have caused to feel that makes them know something of what hell is. And of course, the other solemn truth concerning hell is this. The awful eternal punishment of sin, an unending punishment. And this, the Lord's people are made to feel something of here below. The belly of hell. So Jonah felt to be, as he says in the verse I've named as a text, cast out of thy sight. Cast out of thy sight. Not just out of God's sight, but cast out of it. Feelingly cast out by God. A sinner, when a sinner is made to feel God has separated them from himself because of their sins. They are too unclean to be with him. They are too sinful to be in his presence. They are too wretched to be anywhere near him. They are too vile to be even permitted to be in his sight. Cast out of thy sight. And notice he says, cast out of thy sight. He doesn't say, the Lord is cast out of my sight. I am cast out so that the Lord is not in my sight. He felt to be cast out of God's sight. He felt as though the Lord had cast him off and his eye was not upon him any longer. I am cast out of thy sight. And you know, if God show you your sins and show you himself in all his holiness, righteousness, purity, this will be what he makes you feel. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot hear, that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your sins have separated between you and your God and have hid his face from you. I venture to say this, I believe what I'm going to say, if the Lord help me, is scriptural, it is truth, that none but these who are feelingly cast out of his sight, in the conviction of their sin, in the conviction of what they are and of what they have done, none but these are brought blessedly to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is the way the Lord takes him, bringing his people to blessedly know that his eye is upon them. In showing, when the Lord shows unto them that he looks upon his dear son, and they are hidden in him. And you know, that's what Jonah was looking for when he looked again toward God's holy temple. The Spirit taught him to look for that mercy by which God looks upon sinners not as they are in themselves, but as they are in his Son. The psalmist prayed, didn't he? Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Now the Father's anointed is his Son. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the meek, to proclaim liberty to the captive, the opening of the prison to the bound, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God. Then I said, and his words indicate that he said this to the Lord, I'm cast out of thy sight. And so though he was feelingly cast out of God's sight, God caused him to speak to God. The Spirit teach us from this. The Spirit calls us when we're feelingly cast out of God's sight, yet to speak to him. Oh, do you know what I'm talking about, my dear friend? Felt a little confirmed in that first hymn this evening. Though by my sins deserving hell, I'll not despair, for who can tell? When the Lord so puts the tiniest grain of faith in a poor sinner's soul, so that though they feelingly cast out of God's sight, though they have no comfortable realization that God looks upon them mercifully at all, but they have the painful realization that God sees them in their sinfulness, and yet God grants them that grain of faith to yet speak to God. To yet speak to God. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. My dear friend Jonah, even at this place, even in this place, he was favored with communion with his God. Oh, how strange that way, and yet how powerful and effectual that way God takes to keep, to begin and to keep up communion between his people and himself. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, said the psalmist, to art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of those that are far off upon the sea. I am cast out of thy sight. Oh, when the Lord makes his people realize that they are so bad, so wretched, so undone, so vile, so sinful, so completely opposite to God. There can be no coming together but in a way that God makes known. Job said, neither is there a daysman betwixt us who could put his hand upon us both. I am cast out of thy sight. Try to speak of it like this for a moment, if the Lord may help me. When a poor man or woman or boy or girl realizes that there is nothing about them, upon them, to give any comfortable hope or realization that the eye of God is upon them for good. Marks of grace I cannot show. I'm cast out of thy sight. The sinner that is taught, that is made to realize, those that are in God's sight, those who are under his gracious eye, those whom he shines upon, those whom he is gracious toward, oh, what graces the Lord manifests in them. The grace of faith, the grace of love, the grace of hope, the grace of godly fear, the grace of that obedience by his enabling to the Lord's commands. I'm cast out of thy sight. You may see others and you feel persuaded by the way they speak, the way they walk, their very spirit, that they're in God's sight in a special way, in a favoured way. Oh, there's a savour in what they sometimes speak. There's a tenderness in their walk. There's something of the Spirit of Christ about them. It was said of the disciples, they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Jonah felt the opposite of that. I'm cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. He had evidently looked before toward the holy temple, for he speaks of it as being again. Again. Now, this holy temple, it speaks of Christ. It is God's Old Testament, one of God's Old Testament types of the gospel. Concerning this temple, it was built according to the pattern God showed. And the whole pattern of the temple was a figure of Christ. Firstly, God dwelt there. God dwelt there in such a way as sinners were saved through God dwelling in that temple as they were caused to look toward it. But it was God in all his grace, in all his mercy, in all his justice that is satisfied in the sacrifice. So that justice being satisfied in the sacrifice, mercy can flow to the sinner. There was the Ark of the Covenant, containing the tables of stone given to Moses on the mount, enclosed in that Ark, signifying the law in Christ's heart, fulfilled by Christ. As he was made under the law for the fulfillment of that law, as only he, the Son of God, could fulfill it. And this is where God causes his Jonas to look. Cast out of God's sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Oh, to him who fulfilled the law for sinners, in every jot and tittle, in every precept of it, and in all the punishment that that law requires, the sentence of death. Oh, the poor sinner who is under this sentence of death. And you know, if you're feelingly cast out of God's sight, that's the sentence you're under. You're in the grave, mystically. Above that ark was the mercy seat, overshadowing. And there, said the Lord, will I meet with thee and commune with thee. From above the mercy seat, from between the cherubims. Oh, what a thing it is to be brought to look toward this holy temple. To really be granted that faith to believe the mercy seat. God sitteth upon it. And undeservedly, completely undeservedly, but with a view of the law fulfilled by his dear Son, he is merciful toward that one who looks toward that place. The holy temple, there were those sacrifices, those beasts slain, that blood shed. And once in the year, that blood of those slain beasts taken by the priest into the Holy of Holies, to make reconciliation for his own sins and for the sins of the people. Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures into the, of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God. He had no need to offer for himself, of course, like those Aaronic priests had to. Once as he appeared in the end of the world to put away sin, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Toward thy holy temple. What is it to look toward this temple then? Why, firstly, it is to be reminded by God of that temple. You know, you come in here, I assume all of you, regularly. You hear about Christ regularly. You hear the gospel preached regularly. You read the word of God, I hope, in your homes. And yet what reminding we need of Christ. My dear friend, the Lord make you and me honest. We can't cover anything from him. The Lord search us out in mercy and try our hearts and our thoughts and deliver us from every evil way and lead us in the way everlasting. But it's this, my dear friend. I spoke of Jonah having looked toward this holy temple. Have you ever looked? Have you ever looked toward Christ? Have you ever been by the teaching of God a perishing sinner and you had nowhere else to look? But that doesn't make you look to Christ. No. It's like this with the Lord's people, I believe, when the Lord is bringing them really to look toward this holy temple. They feel so ignorant of Christ. So that for a while they may be in that place. Not only is every other way blocked up, but every way is blocked up. You have not that faith in Christ. And you see, it's when we're brought into these places that the Lord tries that and discovers that notional faith we have. That notion about Christ. When you're in real trouble, when you're a really guilty sinner, when you've really got nothing, when you're really cast out of God's sight, oh, what a blessing then when the Spirit comes and gives a sinner that blessed reminder, that instruction concerning Christ. That God in Christ saves sinners because of Christ, because of his name, because of his work, because of his glorious obedience to that holy law, because of his payment of that great debt under the law. Not save them because of something in them. Save them only because of his Son, one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. That priest then going in to the Holy of Holies on behalf of the people, an intercessor. He who looks toward this holy temple, as I said just now, he's that one who's cast out of God's sight, and he knows he can't go in to God's sight. And when he looks toward this holy temple, he's looking for another to go in. even God's own dear Son, to go in and represent him. And what a glorious, blessed representative God's Son is. There's none like him. None like him. That pure, holy, harmless, undefiled Saviour of sinners. No one else has blood that can prevail in going in. No one else has the right to go in. You see, John in his epistle, he says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Toward thy holy temple, all the attraction, when the Holy Spirit shows Christ going in. Oh, and what he goes in with, that blood which he shed. Oh, why did he shed it? For who did he shed it? Why did he shed it? He'd covenanted to do so. His Father had required it of him, and he had perfectly and holily entered into that covenant, perfectly willing. He's led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And for who did he shed it? Sinners. Sinners. While we were, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Jonah, taught by the teaching of the Spirit, he can come in there. That's the reason, my dear friend, why so few come to Christ. They can't really, heartily, come in as a sinner. They're not completely undone. They're not devoid of all righteousness. They say, I'm not as bad as Jonah. If the Lord teach you, you'll feel worse. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Oh, that look again, that look. Then you see that look. It's God's means of saving sinners. It's not works. They flow from the Lord. Works are the fruit of salvation. The fruit of salvation. The look, that grain of faith, that Israelite that was bitten with a serpent, when he looked upon the serpent of brass, he lived. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. That look then. Think of Solomon when he prayed at the dedication of the temple. His prayer was, amongst other things which he asked, that wherever his people, the Lord's people were, through their sins and transgressions, if they look toward this place, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling. Jonah was looking for an answer from the temple. God dwelt there. He spoke out of that temple. The temple represented Christ, and it is through Christ that God speaks to sinners. When a person looks toward the holy temple, they're looking for the Lord to appear in that holy temple. They're looking to the Lord to appear unto them in such a way as the sins that have separated between them and God are completely put away. The evil which they feel within, feelingly cast out of God's sight, lacking all grace, that they might receive grace from God through that holy temple. that they might receive that repentance which flows in that blood that was shed at Calvary. They might receive that love shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost, the love of Christ in dying for his people, the love of the Father in sending his Son to die, the love of the Spirit in revealing the Son to the sinner. The hope, but oh, above all, the pardon. He looked for pardon. And this is what is set forth in looking toward that holy temple. Oh, he feels far off from it. And this is where sinners are when they first look toward Christ. Oh, so far off. Because the only way that distance can be overcome is by mercy flowing to your soul through that temple, from Christ. Ye who sometimes are far off, and oh, how far off Jonah was, and the Lord knows how far off you and I are tonight. You are sometimes far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. What, just thinking about it? Does that make a sinner nigh? No. You that know anything of it, oh, if thinking about it brought me nigh, I wouldn't be so far off so much. No, it's having faith in that blood given you. And what is faith in that blood? Merely giving assent to the truth that that blood cleanses from sin? No. Is that blessed work of the Spirit applying the blood to your heart and conscience, so blessing you with faith, so that you see it by living faith, you see Christ, you feel the effect of it upon your conscience, you're made nigh, you're made nigh, you're made completely acceptable. You're made meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The acceptance and the made meekness is two separate things, but by the one blessed source, by the one precious blood. Accepted in the Beloved. God making known to this poor Jonah that he laid on his dear son his sin. That's what Jonah was looking toward this holy temple for. For God to make it known to him. We read of that temple in the Old Testament. The glory of the Lord appeared at the door of the tabernacle. And that is what the believer looks toward this holy temple for. For the glory of the Lord to appear. Oh, you see, if you look toward Christ and God speak to you through him, your sins are forgiven. If he speak to you in such a way as it's made known to your soul that you are his and he is yours, you know you're accepted. And you know how you're accepted. You're accepted in Christ. You're forgiven in him. For that blessing, it makes me to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Because in that blessing, the Spirit of Christ is granted unto a poor sinner. That's their meekness. John 17, the Lord Jesus prayed unto his Father that they may be one as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Toward thy holy temple. I look again. Try and close like this as it comes to me. Well, poor sinner. What does God say through Jonah's case? To you who feel cast out of his sight, he says, yet look again toward my holy temple. However great your sins, however long your course of sin, however aggravated that sin, or however rebellious you've been under those dealings of God concerning your sin, we prove you know that the rebellious dwell in a dry land. God is not the author of sin. But we read the words of Paul, we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Oh, the Lord keep me and keep you from taking what I'm about to say wrongly, as though it's a license for sin. No. Remember what I said. The way to the blessing Jonah obtained was an extremely painful one. But you see how the Lord, he sanctifies, that is, causes to work together for his good, for the sinner's good and his own honour and glory, the falls of his people. Peter's, David's, Jonah's here. And perhaps there's something in your life now, my dear friend, and the Lord's purpose in sending that thing in your life is to prove to you just how bad a sinner you are. It's one thing to talk about meekness when everything is going according to how we would like it. Oh, but let that arise which is so provoking. Oh, let us be denied that which our flesh most wants. Let that affliction which hurts most touch us. Let the Lord put his finger on the most tender spot. What do we see? Left to ourselves. Oh, the rebellion. And you'll feel, I'm cast out of thy sight. But the Lord's purpose in making you feel this, child of God, is that you might be brought to look toward that holy temple. Because it won't do to have anything else but Christ. It won't do to have any other supposed submission, but that submission that flows from him. Any other supposed satisfaction with the will of God, but that which flows directly from him who truly said, not my will but thine be done. And no pardon for your soul but that which comes directly from him who cried out in obtaining that pardon, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And my dear friend, under this rebellion, under all these sins that appear when the Lord has got you in his furnace and you can see nothing but dross, then you're taught, ah, where's my faith now? Where's my meekness now? Where's my repentance now? Where's my love now? Where's my every grace now? It's all gone. My dear friend, you must have grace from the fountainhead. You must have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how can you get it? Only by the sovereign gift of God communicating it to you by the blessed Spirit of Truth. A free and sovereign gift communicated from on high without money. Without price. Amen.
God willing, there'll be reading services next Lord's Day, a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and God willing, Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Friday morning at 10 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 1065. O Thou from whom all goodness flows, I lift my heart to Thee. In all my sorrows, conflicts, woes, Jesus, remember me. 1065.
Bless thy word may it remain with us. Grant us that look Jonah was favoured with, that salvation through that look. Forgive all that has been of the flesh. Keep us safe now and forever. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.